Good morning.
Good morning.
And could I welcome you all most warmly to Railway Street Presbyterian Church for the annual enrollment service for First Lisburn Boys Brigade. It's a real joy to see this building so full this morning. It's great to see the members of our company and their leaders. It's great to have you, their families, all present with us today, as well as wider members of our Railway Street Church family. Hope you enjoy your time with us this morning as the boys take part in our service. And then at the close of the service, after the boys, God willing, have been able to parade around again, you're all very warmly invited to join us for refreshments in here, not over in the main hall, folks, but in here in the welcome area and the minor hall. Refreshments are there, so do please stay for that and have the opportunity to chat and to greet many others. All the talk of our weather this weekend have been warnings about Storm Ashley. Severe weather warnings, strong winds and rain. You wouldn't know it to look outside there this morning, would you? It was, I can tell you, it was rough in the early hours of this morning, but it cleared up at just the right time for us. And it put me in mind of a Bible verse as we begin this morning that says this. It's from Psalm 107, speaking about the God that the BB worships. It says this: He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. We're here this morning to worship that almighty God who created this world and the one who is able to still the storm and to say, "Peace, be still," in our praying by Theo Blacklock, a member of our junior section. So come on ahead, Theo.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for another new day that we can rejoice and be glad in. We praise you for showing us your grace and mercy, for all the good gifts that you provide. As we gather for another BB enrollment service, we thank you for the freedom we have to come and worship you. We're grateful to gather at BB each week to play games, have fun, meet our friends, and learn more about you. Thank you for making a way for each of us to have a relationship with you through the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross. Our prayer is to see your kingdom extended and advanced here in Lisburn and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Theo, for that great prayer. For our annual act of enrollment for our Boys Brigade Company, they're here to make their promises. We're here to commit our BB to God and ask that he would continue to bless it as he has done down through many years. The Lord Jesus Christ has given to the church the task of going into all the world to tell people about him. The Boys Brigade exists to help the church in that work. The object of the Boys Brigade is the advancement of Christ's kingdom among boys and the promotion of habits of obedience, reverence, discipline, self-respect, and all that tends towards being a true Christian man. For over 100 years, First Lisburn Boys Brigade Company has been an integral part of the life and the witness of Railway Street Church. And it's a joy to have the members of our BB Company and you, their families, join us in their annual service of enrollment. First Lisburn BB, as I've said, is part of our church, and we, the members of this congregation, are asked to support the work being done by our captain and officers and to pray for the boys and all their leaders that they will be sure and steadfast in their endeavors. Our leaders are volunteers, and they give up of their time week by week to come and to work with our boys. They do that as part of their worship and their service to their God, using the gifts that God has given them, working among our boys and young men week by week. And we thank them. We recognize their service. Could I ask our captain, David Cleland, to come forward? David, realizing the call of God and the responsibilities involved in your leadership as captain, do you renew your undertaking to serve God in your company
desiring the advancement of Christ's kingdom among the young people under your care, and seeking to promote the aim for which your organization stands.
I do.
I now enroll you as captain of this company and promise on behalf of the congregation to support you by our prayers and our cooperation, praying that God may grant you grace to be faithful to your trust and crown your work with success. I'm going to ask all our leaders just to stand where you are, folks, rather than to bring you out the front. That would stretch very far. So we're going to ask, first of all, in sections, our anchor boys, our officer in charge, Christina Wall, John McCleary, Hannah Craig, Manuel Ricota, Judith Dobbin, Nathaniel Barr, Connor Gibson. Then our junior section officer in charge, Gordon Wallace, Simon Spence, Andrew Johnson, David Wallace. Our company section, our Captain David Cleland, Richard Shannon, Stuart Campbell, John Neal, Daniel Nelson, Matthew Nelson, Ben Nelson, I think that's all the Nelsons, Cameron Forrest, Matty Halliday, Max Spence. Realizing the call of God and the responsibility involved in your leadership, do you renew your undertaking to serve God in your company, desiring the advancement of Christ's kingdom among the young people under your care? I now enroll you as officers and leaders of this company, praying that God may grant you grace to be faithful to your charge and crown your work with success. Please be seated. Now, could I ask the anchor boys all to stand? We practiced this on Tuesday night, boys, you remember? There were a lot more of you on Tuesday night, but it's great to see you. It's great to see you. And you remember the answer to the promise? Yeah, we'll come to that. I'm going to ask the junior section, please, to stand. And the company section, young men, please stand. As members of the Boys Brigade, you're part of the worldwide family of the church. Do you promise to be a loyal member of the Boys Brigade and to support the activities of your company? Just like we practiced it. Well done, boys. You're now enrolled as members of the Boys Brigade. May Jesus Christ, the captain of your salvation, give you strength to be faithful to your duty, loyal to your friends, strong in temptation, and be his faithful servants always. Please be seated. And finally, a question I put to the members of Railway Street Congregation. Do you promise to support the work of our company of the Boys Brigade and to pray for its leaders and boys that God will keep them sure and steadfast in their faith? Again, folks? You sounded like you meant it that time. We're going to commit our Boys Brigade and our company to God in prayer. Our youth coordinator, Hannah Craig, will lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please bless this Boys Brigade company and use it in your great power to advance your kingdom throughout the world. Grant in your mercy that every member, past and present, may prove steadfast in his fight against evil and true in his allegiance to you. Please help them in times of temptation. Make them strong when they are weak. Give them courage in difficulty, faithfulness in service, loyalty in friendship. And finally, in your mercy, bring them into your everlasting kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Hannah. Well, that's the official bit done. We're not through yet, but we're going to move on in our service, and there are a number of the members of our company still to take part. Next item on our program, hand over to our captain.
think that's why most people are here, to hear about Matthew Nelson's trip to the Olympics. So yous are going to get that a little bit sooner than we thought. It's just a real privilege to look down the room here and see a great number of boys. It absolutely thrills our heart. And we just want to say thank you, boys, for coming along each and every week, and also to parents and carers for sending them down. This is a really strong company, and we feel really blessed and privileged to have each of the boys coming along. So thank you. On Monday night at company section, we were rolling back the years a little bit. We were getting a little bit nostalgic, and our company's 115 years old. So we had some old photographs out. Ricky Shannon had brought a few in the week before, and we had some old hats and different things that we used to wear. And some of you who were outside watching the parade this morning will have noticed the years rolling back as well, as Stuart Bittle was banging on the drum, well supported by Isaac Allen. And that was just lovely to be able to see that on parade this morning. But in all our illustrious history, and even last year after winning the Northern Ireland badminton final and coming second overall in the UK for our master team quiz, we have never had an Olympian. And it's such an amazing achievement for Matthew to represent Ireland at hockey and to take part in the Summer Olympics this year that we thought it would be good just to bring him up and just ask him a few questions. So would you make Matthew feel very welcome as he comes up? Playing sport is really good fun, and it's good to be able to do that. And I know our boys have really many wonderful gifts, like musical talents and building Lego and all sorts of different things. But playing sport to an international level really just takes it to another, well, it was obviously another level. And I know there are other international athletes in the room. Nigel's an international cricketer, and everyone enjoys different pieces of sport and so on. But for Matthew to get to the level he's played at is really something truly special. And the statistic is, Matthew, 0.00017% of people will ever participate in the Olympic Games. So you are very privileged to be part of that 0.00 number.
Small percentage.
So, just a few questions as we go through. Where did your hockey journey start? Because I remember you as an anchor boy in a junior section, and you seem to have a football or a rugby ball in your hand more than a hockey stick. So how did the hockey come to the fore in your life?
Mainly started from mum and dad, I think, basically because they played when they were younger, and then kind of took us along to Lisnagarvey. So I started playing there in, I think, primary four it was, and then played kind of throughout there, the age groups, and then through primary school in Harmony Hill, and then I went to secondary school, Fort Hill in Lisburn, who didn't play hockey, so I basically played football and rugby instead, which probably is why you say I probably had more of a football and rugby ball in my hand, and then kind of kept playing through that, and then kept playing through Lisnagarvey, and then yeah, kind of went turned about 15 or 16, then I had to choose basically between football, rugby and hockey, so, and then probably due to family influence, was hockey, yeah.
There was something else happened along that, because you were on the verge of like an Ulster something with the rugby as well, weren't you? And did an injury take place or something that really forced your hand a little bit to pick up the hockey stick and put down the rugby ball?
Yeah, so I was involved with Ulster kind of rugby clubs as well, along with Ulster hockey. And then I remember playing this touring team that were from England, and these two, let's say, slightly bigger gentleman, at under 15s, flattened me essentially, and I wrecked my shoulder. So that was probably the turning point. I thought, everyone's getting too big here, and I hadn't grown up as much as some of the rugby boys.
Very good. So you went secondary school to Fort Hill, and then you moved into your sixth year at Wallace, and you were able to play then with Daniel at that stage and possibly Ben. So was there success at Wallace with the school hockey team?
So I didn't actually get to play with Daniel. I came a year later than that after their success, but I got to play with Ben a bit, and my lower sixth year I won the Burnie Cup, and then the year after that I won the Burnie Plate. So I had a bit of success there along, so yeah, and then obviously play with Dan and Ben currently to today. So
yeah, so it's really cool that you play at Lisnagarvey with your two brothers, and all three of you are strikers, and hockey is just a strange sport to me because you don't like start with the same people that you finish with. It rotates quite a bit, so I'm sure there's a competitive edge amongst you, but also you kind of spur one another on to do well.
I'm quite harsh on them, to be honest, but no, we kind of, we usually keep a tally at the start of the year. We try to see how many goals we can score as a brother trio, and I think I won the goal scoring record last year, if you want to ask them about it after. So yeah, no, it's always good to play with your brothers who are obviously at a high level as well, so it's nice.
You may have won the scoring charts in the hockey, but Daniel won the BB Fantasy Football League, so that's maybe that's like right. a higher ranking in the house.
There's levels.
And look, you mentioned your brothers there, but you've also mentioned your mum and dad, who have been a massive support to you too, you know, throughout your career. And we just want to pay tribute to Brian and Ruth as well, just for everything that they've done. I'm sure they've made massive sacrifices that not everyone sees to be able to help you get to achieve your goals.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it's kind of, you're always... As you kind of get slightly older, I probably have appreciated it a lot more. Just of the kind of sacrifice and the time and dropping you to training sessions or arranging holidays or flying back from trips and paying for a lot of things when we were kind of that underage. So I think, yeah, after kind of the Olympics, we kind of had a bit of downtime after that and had a lot of thinking time. And, yeah, you kind of just really kind of appreciate and, yeah, just really thankful for all the sacrifice and effort they've put in to kind of to get to allow me to get to where I am today, and probably wouldn't have been possible without them in that sense. So.
And one other thing you forgot, I've seen you eat, and they paid for your food for whatever number of years, and that's going to be an expensive thing to do as well. I remember going along to one of your first caps up at Stormont in 2017, and I remember holding my Daniel in my arms and going along to see that, which seems like such a long time ago. So you've accumulated quite a number of caps since then and scored quite a few goals. So how many caps have you got and how many goals so far?
So I think I'm currently on 93 caps and I think I've got 21 goals, I think. So not too bad. Not close to the 100, so.
Good. So we're aiming for the 100. And at the minute, you've a little bit of an injury, is that right, coming back? Are you?
Yeah, so I hurt my PCL, so I was in a brace there. So if you would have seen me in the last 8 weeks, I would have been in a knee brace. So I kind of got that off on Wednesday and then back to some form of rehab and trying to get fit again, which is the joys.
Good. Fabulous. So let's talk a little bit about the Olympics, because 4 years ago, there was a massive disappointment with the Ireland team because you came agonisingly close to qualifying at that stage. It was down to like a goal in like the last minute of extras or something crazy.
Yeah.
And as a professional athlete or an athlete playing to a high level, you've really got to build yourself up and motivate yourself to go again. So what was the campaign like going into this year's Olympics in Paris?
Yeah, so just obviously touching up, we're playing in Canada to kind of qualify for the Tokyo Olympics, and then, yeah, kind of unfortunately got beat basically in equivalent of penalties, so, and they scored in the last play of the game, essentially, so that was kind of, we actually ran on the pitch to celebrate because we thought we'd won, and then it came back to video, TMO referral, basically, and it was, yeah, they got given a basic goal, and then that kind of ruined our campaign, but...
The question was, that was disappointment, but then yes. you dusted yourself down through that disappointment. You were still able to then get to the Olympics then this year.
Yeah, so obviously it's kind of after that, everyone was kind of heartbroken and kind of real. Like, you've prepped for essentially 4 years of training and matches and being away for 80, 90 days of the year because a lot of us kind of worked or were in uni or students at that time. So you've given up like so much. A lot socially, missed a lot of events, so it's kind of like to kind of fall at that hurdle, and then you think you're so close. Yeah, it's kind of tough to regroup, but I think kind of the goal kind of has always been to kind of go to the Olympics, so the motivation and drive is kind of still there to push to get back up again and go again. Now, obviously, COVID was in the midst last post that, so it was kind of a bit of a different time for a while, but yeah, and it was kind of nice to kind of get back and then kind of achieve what we set out to achieve from about 8 years ago. So. Okay.
So you get selected, you're on the plane, flying out of Dublin, I assume, you're on the tarmac, you've got your Ireland gear on. Do you pinch yourself and go, what on earth am I doing here? And then you arrive into the Olympic Village and you're just like, whoa, how did a wee boy from Lisburn kind of end up here in Paris? So who did you see? What was that like when you arrived in the Olympic Village?
Yeah, so I don't think it actually really hit probably a lot of us until we actually walked into the Olympic Village. Obviously, we knew we qualified back in January time when we played in that tournament in Valencia, and people were like, oh, you're going to the Olympics, and we're like, oh, yes, okay, yeah, we are, but it didn't actually kind of feel real or like it was actually happening because obviously you could get injured or selection. There was no guarantee you were definitely going, so it was kind of quite a nervous build-up to that. And then when you arrived there, it was kind of... Well, we were one of the first people in the village, so we were kind of quite fortunate that it was quite empty. So we kind of had free reign of the village and were making use of all the facilities, and they basically just had like absolutely everything. They had like this big polyclinic which had like people are going to the dentist to get their teeth checked, people are going to a podiatrist to get their hard skin removed, or going to hairdressers or anything. So we were in cloud nine, but we were actually saying in the first kind of couple of days we actually forgot we were here for the Olympics, and we were just going around enjoying the Olympic Village too much.
Is there a rumour that there's a McDonald's in the Olympic Village?
There wasn't in this one.
No.
There usually is, apparently, because they were the main sponsor, but Paris opted for like a Michelin star kind of restaurant kind of.
For you, that's not good news.
Well, we were all right the week before, but in tournament, we kind of had to restrict ourselves slightly. We're not too bad, and I think it was for a lot of people here kind of have to make weight cuts and stuff. They were a bit more cautious than us. We can be slightly more flexible. But yeah, just the whole kind of experience of kind of walking around the village and bumping into all these like proper celebrities you see on TV, and like we bumped into Andy Murray, Alcaraz, Simone Biles, seen Nadal. The whole USA basketball team was in for the opening ceremony, so kind of you see these people on TV who have millions and millions of social media following. You're just standing 5 meters from them, or you're having a chat with. Spoke to Andy Murray for like 5-10 minutes about hockey and about just his tennis career and things like that. And I'm like, whatever. When else would you have this opportunity to do that? So kind of felt very, very lucky and kind of surreal that you're in that situation. But yeah,
it's probably like speaking to me here.
Yeah, essentially, yeah, somewhere level there. So we do.
Hopefully, our AV team are good with this. So we do have some photographs just to capture a little bit of what Matthew got up to over at the Olympic Village here as well. And he's saying about all these celebrities, but he was signing. I saw a photograph where Daniel was quite close to him, and he was signing autographs and getting all these selfies and things with different people. So I'm sure all the supporters were kind of keen to see you and your gear and so on. So let's just see if we can get those up here. We'll go. Just let those all kind of click through. See if you can spot anyone famous apart from Matthew. Good angle, man.
I don't know. Mum and Dad must have taken that one.
Look at that. You look like a taekwondo player there rather than a hockey player.
Yeah, that was the closing ceremony kit. So I had an opening and closing ceremony kit. Now, unfortunately, we didn't get to wear it. So if anyone wants to try it on, let me know.
Well, I've got first dibs. That's class. What an experience. That is just amazing just to see that. Oh, there they are. Did Brian and Ruth get asked for selfies or autographs?
I think they might have, yeah.
Maybe one or two. There they are. And was the weather good when you were there? Was it warm or was it...
It was actually a mixed one of the games we were going out to play, and it was absolutely lashing down. I was like, well, this is good for us in that sense. I think we were playing, I can't remember what game was it.
Yes, this poncho looks pretty cool there.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of days, but no.
There he is, look at that.
There was lots of support and lots of people from the church come out, the Widows, the Spencers, and quite a few other people were out to support, which was always nice.
That's very cool.
There they are.
Hopefully there is one with, I think we'll have one with Andy Murray. And maybe one with Alcaraz. There's the crew. And look at our Lant there with his Netherlands kit on. Like, a non-conformist or what, Lant?
He was supporting.
That's just amazing. What an unbelievable experience. So cool. Here, we'll let those go. So, was there one highlight or lasting memory from it? There he is. There's me. Annie Murray, sorry. There's Alcaraz. So, one lasting memory, Matt, from that?
The whole experience. Probably just the first time kind of walking out into the pitch, kind of before the first game. We were sitting in the change room, kind of, you're kind of very kind of nervous. And I remember, Stephen Woods had sent me something through about Christians in sport. And I remember it was just an article he'd kind of sent me, and kind of reading through that kind of helped me, yeah, not change my focus, but kind of put things in their perspective and kind of remember what I've been lucky enough to kind of go and to the Olympics and all the reasons why, but probably the kind of first time walking out onto the pitch and kind of just seeing your family in the stand and kind of walking out as you're about to play in the Olympics was kind of the main thing for me, kind of trying not to kind of get a bit emotional. It was from just a lot of kind of years of kind of hard work and everything, and seeing your family and everything they've kind of sacrificed for you. So that was kind of, for me, kind of the main kind of takeaway from just walking out in the pitch and kind of looking up and seeing them in the crowd and seeing them buzzing was probably the coolest thing for me.
I unfortunately didn't get the chance to go over there, but can I say that I am extremely proud of you, and the whole company is extremely proud of you, and everyone here at Railway Street is extremely proud of you as well. So many congratulations, and we wish you so much more success in the future as well. Can we give Matt? What makes this really special for me is, as Michael said earlier, we have an unbelievable team of leaders here, and we're all committed to the object of the BB, which is the advancement of Christ's kingdom among boys and the promotion of habits of obedience, reverence, discipline, self-respect, and all that tends towards a true Christian manliness. So whether you're an international hockey player, whether you're a stay-at-home mum or an architect or an expectant mother or whatever you do, we have an unbelievable group of leaders who come down every week to serve our boys, and we are committed to this object. And the other thing as well, we are supportive of the Boys Brigade in Northern Ireland, and their new strategy is raising generations of Christ-like men. So there's little books like this out in the link area afterwards. So could I encourage you to have a look through that, or maybe take one home as well with you, and just read through that at your own leisure as well. So thank you very much, Matt, and we'll hand back over to Michael.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Thanks, David. We're going to have a Bible reading at this stage, and we're going to invite Isaac Allen, who's part of our company section, to come and to read to us from Matthew's Gospel.
So today's reading is from Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 to 75. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You're also with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
Thanks, Isaac. I've been given a thumbs up from down the back, so we're good to go. I'm getting two thumbs up now. Right, Anchor Boys, you're going to come and sing King of Me. Really hope. Boys, 4 weeks ago, it was my birthday weekend. Now, I'm not going to ask you to guess what age I was, because I'll just end up feeling insulted, no doubt. But my own son accused me of being a year older than I actually am. Wished me the wrong birthday. But I was off for that birthday weekend. Now, I'm not normally off because I work weekends and I work Sundays, but I was off. And I decided that Stephen and I would go somewhere we'd never been before, because I'd never been to an English Premier League football match. Never. Because like I say, I work weekends. It rarely suits. Now, way back, believe it or not, 9 years ago was my first BB enrollment as minister of this church. And way back then, I confess to you which football team I support. Does anybody remember what football team I support? Nick? I support
the Boys Brigade, certainly. Hopefully they're going to find my pictures.
I support Southampton. Anybody else here this morning support Southampton? The only time I've been in church and I've asked that question and more people put their hands up was the Sunday I was doing a BB enrollment and Southampton had beaten United 6-3 the day before. That Sunday a lot of people put their hands up because the minister in that particular church was a Man United supporter. Where are my pictures, guys? I support Southampton. Now, you may say, why do I support Southampton? Because Southampton are a rubbish team. Yeah. Have Southampton won a game this season yet? No. They lost again yesterday to Leicester 3-2. Why do I support Southampton? That's a long story. Let me give you the short reason. Anybody tell me, what is the nickname for Southampton Football Club? What's their nickname, Theo? No, it's not the worst team ever. That's not their nickname. Theo, I thought you and I were friends. What's the nickname for Southampton? The Saints. You see the halo above the football? They're called the Saints because Southampton started out, like many football teams did, as a church team. And what other team would a minister support other than the Saints? You certainly shouldn't have ministered supporting the Red Devils. Definitely not. So I decided we were going to go to a Premiership game, and I'm a Southampton supporter, so where would you expect that we were going to go? Where would you expect we were going to go? Yep. That we would go here, yeah, that we would go to St. Mary's Stadium, the home of Southampton Football Club. Is that where we went? No, it's not. Here's where we ended up. Anybody recognize that stadium? Where is that? That's Liverpool. That's Anfield. What on earth were we doing at Anfield? Well, to be honest with you, this was a trip for my son, Stephen. This was a late birthday present, and also after he got his exams and got back into Fort Hill. So Stephen is a Liverpool supporter. And so I booked this trip secretly. And there we are. And there's me, the Southampton supporter at Anfield. So there I am. It's my birthday. I'm a Southampton supporter. And I'm about to watch Liverpool play Bournemouth. And here's the thing. I knew I was going to be surrounded by Liverpool supporters everywhere. And so I had to think to myself, what am I going to wear? And I didn't really think it would be a good idea to wear my Southampton shirt or my scarf, because that wouldn't really make me stand out. And I thought, boy, if I come in and I'm a Southampton supporter, I'm going to get a hard time, not just from the Liverpool supporters, but from the Bournemouth supporters as well. So what did I do? Do you know what I did? Almost embarrassed to admit this morning. Here's what I did. Day before, I went in to the Liverpool shop and I bought myself a Liverpool t-shirt. Now, I got an understated one because I thought maybe I'll get other use out of it. And sure, it's really good to wear under your BB jumper. But I bought a Liverpool that's why my microphone's not working, because it's unplugged here. I got a Liverpool t-shirt so that I wouldn't stand out, so that I would fit in. And there I was. I felt like a fraud, and I was a fraud because I was a Southampton supporter, and yet there I was in the main stand at Anfield wearing a Liverpool t-shirt. Now, I enjoyed the match. It was a great match. Liverpool beat Bournemouth 3-0. Got to see in person many famous footballers like Salah and Diaz. Here was a picture from during the game. We had pretty good seats because all the Liverpool goals were scored at the end where we were. So that was really good to see. But I've got to say, every time Liverpool scored, I didn't cheer nearly as much as Stephen and nearly as much as everybody else around me. And Stephen said I didn't stand up nearly enough and clap either. But part of it was I didn't want to stand out. I wanted to fit in. And so I behaved like something that I wasn't. And in the Bible, Isaac read for us a story about Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, who found himself in a situation where he wanted to fit in. He didn't want to be found out. And so he acted as if he wasn't a follower of Jesus. And it happened at this time. Jesus' enemies had come to the Garden of Gethsemane. Next picture, they'd arrested Jesus, just as Jesus said they would. They led him away. They took him to the home of the high priest, where they were going to put him on trial. And what did Jesus' disciples do? Did they go with Jesus? They ran away. They ran away. Not Peter. Now, Peter was scared. But he wanted to see what would happen to Jesus, so he followed at a distance. Now, earlier that night, when Jesus' disciples had been eating the Passover meal together in the upper room, Peter had told Jesus that he was ready to go to prison with Jesus. He was ready to die with Jesus, that he would never leave Jesus. And Jesus had said to him, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you're going to deny three times that you know me. And Peter said, I'll never do that, Lord. So Peter came into the courtyard of the house of the high priest. It was a cold night. Someone had lit a fire in the courtyard. The people who were there sat down around it to warm themselves. Peter sat down with them. But he didn't want to draw attention to himself. He was just sitting there. But as he was sitting there, a young servant girl saw him. She looked closely at him, and she thought she recognized him. She said to the others around the fire, hey, this man was with Jesus. And what did Peter do? Did Peter bravely say, yes, I was with Jesus. I'm one of his disciples. Did he say that? No. Peter was frightened and he said, woman, I don't know him. I don't know him. And a little while later, someone else saw him and they said, you're also one of his followers. And what did Peter do once again? He said, no, I'm not. And about an hour later, another person said, certainly this man is one of Jesus' followers. You know by the way he talks that he's from Galilee, where Jesus came from. And Peter was now very scared, and he said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And just as he finished saying that, the rooster crowed. And we're told that Jesus looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said to him earlier that night. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And Peter, we're told, was so ashamed, he went out of the courtyard and he broke down and he cried. He was so ashamed that he had denied Jesus. Boy, some of you are maybe thinking, I would never do that. I believe in Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. And yet the truth is, boys, that we can all be tempted to deny Jesus. It's happened to me. I remember a time many years ago when I was in school. I was in year 9. And I went to an old boys school. It wasn't an easy school to be a Christian in. And people would make fun of you and give you a hard time. And there were 3 boys in my form class who had become Christians. And they were telling others about that. And one lunchtime they were getting a really hard time from others in my form class. And I was a Christian. But I never went to the Scripture Union because I didn't want to stand out. Didn't want to draw attention to myself. And I should have supported those other boys in my class who were Christians. I should have stood with them. But I didn't. You know what I did? I left the room. I left the room because I thought, I don't want to be found out. I don't want anybody asking me directly, am I a Christian? And in many ways, I denied Jesus. And you know, I felt so bad about it that I've never forgotten it. I've never forgotten it to this day. I can still see myself there. Do you know what happened to Peter after he denied Jesus? Let me tell you what happens after he denied Jesus. When Jesus rose again and Peter met him, did Jesus say to Peter, Peter, you can no longer follow me because you denied me? Well, let's hear what happened. The Bible tells us that after Jesus rose from the dead, Peter and some of the other disciples went fishing on the Sea of Galilee because Peter was a fisherman. And they were out fishing all night. And do you know how many fish they caught? Big fat zero. They caught no fish. In fact, they seemed to be terrible fishermen. They only ever caught fishermen when Jesus was there, it seems. But that, when dawn came, when the sun came up, the disciples saw a man standing on the beach, and they couldn't see who it was, but he shouted out, and he said, friends, have you caught any fish? And they said, no, I haven't caught a thing. And he said, throw your net over on the right side of the boat, and you'll get plenty of fish. And so they did, and were told they couldn't draw in the net because there were so many fish in it. And then one of the other disciples said to Peter, it's the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus. And when Peter heard it was the Lord, he jumped out of the water and he swam ashore. He still felt ashamed, but he was so eager to see Jesus now that Jesus was alive again. And Jesus had prepared breakfast for them on the lake shore. The disciples enjoyed that breakfast, and then Jesus took Peter aside, and he asked him a very important question. He said to him, Peter, do you love me more than these? Meaning the other disciples. And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then Jesus said to him a second time, he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And then a third time, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And we're told Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, because it reminded Peter how he had denied knowing Jesus three times. But he said to Jesus, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And then Jesus said, feed my sheep. And then later he said to Peter, follow me. Follow me. Wasn't that amazing? Jesus forgave Peter and allowed him to stay as one of his disciples, even though Peter had denied knowing Jesus. And you know what? Peter did follow Jesus. And he followed Jesus for the rest of his life. And he gave his life to telling other people about Jesus. And many years later, he did indeed die for being a follower of Jesus. And Peter wrote a letter to some Christians before he died. And in this letter, he said this. He said, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Boys and mums and dads and everyone here, the good news is that when we, like Peter, deny Jesus, he's willing to forgive us. He knows our weaknesses. He's willing to give us a second chance. He can give us the strength to stand for him and to speak for him. Let me tell you, see, after that time I denied Jesus in school, I started going to the youth group in my local church. I met with other Christians who were my own age. I started to follow Jesus more seriously than I ever had before. And I realized that I needed to stand up for Jesus wherever I was, especially in my school. And it wasn't easy, but praying for God's help, and it took me several weeks before I got the courage to do it. You know what I did one lunchtime? I went to our school scripture union with those other boys in my form who had become Christians. And once I started going to scripture union, I didn't stop. And yes, there were those who made fun of me. Yes, there were those who gave me a hard time, but I got used to that. After a while, it didn't bother me so much. And sometimes there were other boys in my class who would ask me about Jesus and ask me about faith. I want to encourage you, encourage all our boys, but particularly boys in our company section, those who are at secondary school, where it can be so hard to be a follower of Jesus. I want to encourage you to do the same. I've never regretted becoming a Christian. It's the best decision I ever made, and it's the best and most important decision any one of us here today could ever make. And if you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, I would encourage you to do that. And if you're a follower of Jesus, it's important that you know the help and the support of others. Coming to BB on a Monday or a Tuesday is one way you find that help. Going to your church, youth group, or come here to our church and our youth group on Sundays is another. Make sure that you go along and play your part in your scripture union or Christian union in your school. And then always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Don't deny who you are. Don't try to blend into the background so you won't be noticed like I did at Anfield. Be proud to be a follower of Jesus. Be proud to follow him. Let's pray. Father God, the Bible tells us you know how we are formed. You know sometimes, Lord, we desire to do the right thing, and yet so often we do the wrong thing. Sometimes we're scared of what others will think of us. And so we try to blend into the background. We don't let others know that we follow you, just like Peter did, just like I've done. We thank you that you forgave Peter. We thank you with your help, with your Holy Spirit, he became a powerful witness for Jesus, that he gave his life to telling others about Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to do the same. Pray for these boys, Lord, who know you and who follow you. Help them in their school to meet with their other Christians, to encourage one another, and not to be ashamed to say that they are one of your disciples. For others here this morning who maybe aren't your disciples of whatever age, we pray, Lord, that you would help them to listen to the words of Jesus, to examine his claims, and to put their faith in him as their Lord and Savior, for we ask it in his name.